again last week at looking at the demoniac of Gadara. We saw that he was under the control of Satan. Demon possession is very, very real, and it is something that is very prevalent today. And we saw also the dwelling place of this man, where he lived, which of course went hand in hand with his condition, his spiritual condition. We see also here in Mark chapter 5, we're not going to read the verses, but verses 1 through 20 gives us the account, and Matthew and Luke also record this event. We do want to consider the man's disposition and behavior, which of course is the result of his spiritual condition. It was the result of his demon possession. We see in verse 5 that he was unsettled. He was restless. And again, this pretty much describes lost man to even a greater degree, because this particular man was demon-possessed. But we see he was very restless and very unsettled in verse 5, and always. That is, this is something you can depend on. It was always so. Night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So we see that this man knew nothing of the peace of the Lord. In fact, instead, he knew the turmoil that the demons brought in his life. He knew nothing of security in the Lord, knew nothing about the assurance or the hope that the Lord brings to one's life. He knew nothing about spiritual refreshment. He was a stranger to all of these things. His life was filled with weariness, not just physical weariness, but emotional weariness. And his life, of course, was filled with distress. And we see here always, night and day. And again, Isaiah 57 and verse 20 describes the wicked as the troubled sea, which never rests. This is a characteristic of lost man. He's unsettled. He's very restless. We see also that this man was filled with sorrow. Again, in verse 5, always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. The word crying there has reference to a loud scream, a shriek, a blood-curdling scream. These cries could be heard throughout the mountains every single day and every single night, which again shows the despair that this man was in. It shows the misery, the anguish, and the utter hopelessness that this man lived in night and day. We see also he was very irrational. We see in verse 5 again, we see that he cut himself with stones. He cut himself with stones. That is, in the sense of gashing himself or hacking, cutting oneself so as to leave it covered with sores. This declares that the man was self-destructive. And all lost people, to one degree or another, are self-destructive. But there are some who are far more self-destructive than others. And demon possession always results in the destruction of self. And we see that this man was very self-destructive. The destructive power of the demons is also seen as the result of them entering into the swine. Notice in verse 12, in verse 13, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And as a result of the demons being in the swine, and yes, demons can possess animals as well. It was so throughout Bible history. It is still so today. But this herd ran violently, crazed. They were crazed. They were out of their mind. Violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And they were choked, or they drowned in the sea. So we see the demons being in this man caused him to cut himself, caused him to bring harm upon himself. That's irrational. Anyone who purposely brings harm upon themselves is not right up here. And this man wasn't right mentally. And the reason in this man's case was demon possession. And then we see the result of them entering into the swine. The swine basically committed suicide. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who has suicidal tendencies or everyone who commits suicide is demon-possessed. I'm not saying that. But it is so that their suicidal tendencies and those who commit suicide very well may be demon-possessed. They may not be, but don't disregard the possibility that they may be. And it's important that we know the causes of things, because then we can truly deal with the solutions to problems. But this man was obviously demon-possessed. He was also filled with anger. Notice in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, and verse 28, Matthew is making reference to when Christ first arrived in Gadara. Mark makes reference to it as well, but Matthew tells us something that Mark didn't. We see this man met him, two men met him possessed with devils. The other accounts only tell us of one, but there were two who were demon-possessed. And notice they came out of the tombs, that's where they lived. They were exceeding fierce. That describes their anger. And this anger that they possessed also had an effect on others, that no man might pass by that way. That is, people were afraid of these demon-possessed men because they were so angry. Again, Matthew says they were exceeding fierce. The word exceeding means more than. So what this is saying is they were more than fierce. They were angry, they were in a rage, but more than. They were more than angry. They were more than being in a rage. In other words, they took on the behavior of a half-crazed animal. They were exceeding fierce. So this man has many, many issues, and they all go back to demon possession. We see also he was a moral degenerate. Notice in Luke's account, now this is implied in Mark's account, we see after the man is healed, he's seen sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed. But Luke actually tells us that the man wore no clothes. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils, plural, and again we see he was legion, He had been this way for a long time. And he wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. This man was spiritually and morally unclean. Nakedness throughout the scriptures is a picture of the degeneracy of men. It's always associated with immorality. And this man, the fact that he wore no clothes tells us again that he is not mentally stable. He is not mentally right, but he has no morals. He's an immoral individual. He is a degenerate individual. And it is always the devil's program to unclothe the human body. I'm not saying that everyone who doesn't dress right is demon-possessed. I'm not saying that. But I am saying it is the devil's program to unclothe the human body. That has always been the devil's program, and it is still the devil's program. And when people parade around naked, and when I use the word naked now, I'm talking about God's definition of nakedness, which is far different than man's definition of nakedness. But we see when man parades around naked, he is following the program of the devil. And it shows immorality. They may not be guilty of physical immorality, but they are not moral in their minds. When people unclothe the human body and parade around, they are not a moral person in their minds. They may not be moral in their acts either. But we know for sure that they're loose morally. And everyone knows that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. When people parade around naked, they are immoral. They are an immoral people. And this man was immoral. We see, sixthly, he was uncontrollable. Notice again in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 5, and the latter part of verse 3 says that no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And then he go on in verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man, many tried, neither could any man tame him. Now, the chains would serve as handcuffs. The fetters served the purpose of shackles. This man was greatly disturbed. This man was greatly distressed. He was a very unreasonable individual. He was very irrational. He was self-destructive. He was angry. He was wild. He was degenerate. He's crazy. This man is out of his mind. And people were afraid to walk by where he could usually be found. So he caused fear in the community. And the authorities thought that they needed to do something about this individual. So they tried to deal with this man. And they tried to fix him. And they tried to control him. But you couldn't fix him. And you couldn't control him. And society needs to learn that. You cannot fix what is demonic. Man does not have the ability to fix that. Nor can you control it. Oh, you may think you are, at times, but give it some time and you will find out that the chains and the fetters will be broken. And this man, they put the chains upon him, they put the fetters upon him, and for a while it seems like perhaps it was working, but he just broke them. The demons gave him extraordinary strength, and no matter how hard they tried, and obviously various individuals tried, because it says, neither could any man. So various individuals tried, various individuals of different skills, various individuals of different intellect, people who would view the problem perhaps from different angles, and people would try, but you couldn't fix them. Man cannot fix what is the result of a spiritual problem. Only God can do that. Now, we're not against certain social services. We're not against all rehab programs. But the social services of man and the rehab programs of today cannot provide what this man needed. And it's still true today. Now, we realize that in this man's day, they didn't have social services, they didn't have rehab programs, or any of those kind of things. Just the authorities would try to fix this man, but he couldn't be fixed. And we need to come to that realization. I came to that realization years and years and years ago, being a pastor, that there are things you cannot fix. There are people that you cannot fix, no matter how hard you try. That's not a bad thing. That is a good thing, because that causes you to, again, place your hope and wait upon the one who can fix it. And that is the Lord. And people today, they expect, many will expect certain individuals to fix another individual. It can't be done. It can't be done. And you're placing unreasonable expectations upon a human being, only the Lord. And we see here in this miracle, we see the power of Christ over evil. We see the power of Christ demonstrated in this demoniac of Gadara. And next week we'll pick up when Christ arrives in Gadara. But again, society did not have what this man needed, but there was one who did. And he arrives in Gadara. And he arrives in Gadara, I believe, for this particular man, for the purpose of fixing this individual, for the purpose of saving this individual. Let me say that salvation will fix a lot of things. And that is so, so very true. Let's look to the Lord.